Okay, any announcements? Anna, why don't you just briefly tell people what you're doing with the June Review Camp?
Sure. I'm the project manager for the Clean Project, and we have our second review camp coming up this week, Thursday and Friday, just a day and a half. We had our first larger review camp last year in July, also here in Boulder, and we are trying different approaches this year. Last year we had a lot of external people come in too. We had about half and half local and external people. The June review camp is only going to be local people here from Boulder, just to try out how, if it's a lot more time efficient to maybe just have local people and organize it on a smaller scale. So we'll have about 60 learning activities that pass the clean review process over the last few months, and they will be reviewed by a group of local experts. We have so many scientists here and educators, so we have actually a really good and interesting group together. And we'll also, because clean is moving into useful bits, how we call them, videos and visualizations, we are going to do test reviews of these useful bits, which are going to be the main focus of our larger review camp that's coming up in August. So we have two big clean events this year.
Right. And if people, I mean, obviously not for this week, and I'm not sure the status for things in August, but in the future, if you're interested in participating in the review camp or helping us with reviews, we need educators and scientists to do that in the future, so you can let us know. Any other announcements?
Well, if folks have any Minnesota contacts, this is Kristen. We're just finishing up recruitment for our Institute for Climate Change Education this summer, and we're recruiting just locally within the state this year just because our project is so locally focused. But we're looking for, still have spots open. We're up to about 70 applicants, and we're hoping to get 100, so if anyone has contacts in Minnesota, I'll send the recruitment info via the listserv. But
okay, and when is the workshop?
It's August 11th and 12th.
Another thing that we're doing is the ESA Federation, it's a Federation of Earth Science Information Partners, is having its summer meeting in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And one of the things we do there is we have a teacher workshop, mostly attracting local teachers. The summer meeting moves around all over the country. So this year it is in Santa Fe, New Mexico. So if people are interested, we do have a lot of teachers registering. I'm actually going to be presenting the Clean Pathway Project and the Climate Literacy Network efforts at that teacher professional development workshop. So if you know teachers who are interested in that, that is the second week in July this summer.
Hey, Tamara.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's Margaret.
Hi, sorry, I'm called in late. So we have the workshop's full.
Okay,
yeah, we have 33 participants and we're shooting for 25, so, you know, even with no shows, it's full this year.
Okay. Very good. Are there any other announcements?
Well, if you haven't gone to the Clean Facebook page, please do and check it out and let us know what you think. It's a work in progress, but it's facebook.com/CLEANET.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Okay, well, I know that a number of you were interested in having a discussion about the goals and mission and activities of the Climate Literacy Network, and it has been a while since we've had that discussion. And so we have set this time aside to do that. What I'd like to do is to sort of give you a little bit of context. Some of you are newer to the Climate Literacy Network, and also the Climate Literacy Network and the Clean Pathway Project. There are places where we intersect and will actually be intersecting more, and that may impact our discussion. So we have also Mark and Anna on the phone from the Clean Pathway Project, and Scott has been involved in both the Clean Pathway Project and the Climate Literacy Network, as have Anna and Mark. And so we have some people who have been around for a while. But one of the things that historically, the Climate Literacy Network was formed basically to, once the climate literacy essential principles were established, to move the implementation of those essential principles forward in terms of creating a climate literate society. So in formal informal education context, informal education context, and the broader range, which then defines a very wide spectrum of members, participants, stakeholders in a climate literacy network. Out of the discussions of the Climate Literacy Network, which we've been having weekly since January of 2008, the proposal and the project, the Clean Pathway Project, the Climate Literacy and Energy Awareness Pathway Project, was developed. The proposal was developed and it was funded. Now, the main activities of that, without getting into a lot of detail, are to create and steward a collection of educational resources around that directly address the climate literacy essential principles and are aligned with benchmarks and standards. But again, I won't get into that in any detail. But and that collection went live in November, and we're continuing to build that collection. The other component of it is to have professional development activities around facilitating the use of that collection and to facilitate the community. And since many of us who have been leading the Climate Literacy Network and have been very involved in the Clean Pathway Project, there's many of us who are the same, you know, the same people are doing that. While we know the difference of the activities of the Climate Literacy Network and the Clean Pathway Project and how they intersect and how they're different, many people on the outside of these two groups don't really realize that. And it's become clear to those of us in the Clean Pathway Project that trying to separate those two is not only difficult, but probably not useful. It's better to think of them as integrated. And that became obvious to me in full force when the NASA GCCE projects, GCC is the Global Climate Change Education Projects, which are funded by NASA, they have a website for the funded projects. And if you go into their website, and there's a left-hand menu item called the Climate Literacy Network, and when you click on that link, what you get to is the Clean Pathway Portal, not the Climate Literacy Network page. Now, I don't know how many of you have been on the Clean Pathway Portal, but there are a number of large sections to the portal. There is one which is the collection itself. What are the resources there providing the capabilities to search them. There is one which gives a little bit more perspective about teaching the climate literacy essential principles and then pointing to parts of the collection that can help teach those particular concepts at various grade levels. But the third main component of that is the Clean Community page. And at this point, what that is it's a page in which we have advertised the professional development opportunities. We provided people the ability to sign up for a listserv if they want announcements of activities that are directly related to the Clean Pathway Collection. And there are other kinds of engagement activities around identifying people to be science reviewers and those kinds of things. There is also the activity, as Mark mentioned earlier, the Clean Facebook page. And since the activities of the Climate Literacy Network and the Clean Pathway Portal have, in a lot of people's minds, have been intertwined, what we in the Clean Pathway Project have will be moving forward in doing and having your input into how what you might like to see there is to actually make the Climate Literacy Network page the community page. What that means is not only would you have the information for the Climate Literacy Network there, but we would have to integrate in an effective way the other kinds of community building and community engagement kinds of activities to be able to be accessible from there. Another avenue that I see for this is that as regional networks around climate literacy become more and more concrete in development of their plans, that we provide access through the community page to those regional networks. One of the things the Climate Literacy Network page already has is a collection of the project descriptions that have been funded by NASA, NOAA, and NSF around climate literacy. So we are planning to move in that direction, and if you hadn't noticed, the URL for the Climate Literacy Network already implies this, because the URL for the Clean Pathway Portal is cleannet.org, and the URL for the Climate Literacy Network is cleannet.org/CLN. So that relationship is kind of already built into the infrastructure. So with that, so that's one structure that I wanted everybody to know that we were moving towards, and we welcome everybody's input along that. The other, which I'm not sure who on the phone knows about the various activities that the Climate Literacy Network has been involved in the past, but we have been working together to create coordinated submissions to conferences and taking advantage of the different kinds of activities that people are already involved in on their own, and people have made use of the Climate Literacy Network to get information input into their projects and to advertise their projects. So those are other kinds of things. And so with that introduction, I'll open it to comments or questions, but the purpose of this call was to basically give the members of the Climate Literacy Network, you who are on the phone, the opportunity to provide your input as to what you see might be useful as we move forward, if you have any comments about this integration of the two sites and communities, or anything else that you think that would be worthwhile for the Climate Literacy Network to move forward with.
Tamara, this is Frank Niepold.
Mm-hmm.
One question for, I guess, everyone who's on the phone is, CLEAN was one grant that was kind of birthed through the Climate Literacy Network, but I would assume there are others that have kind of done that as well. Is that correct? Where
I think that there's others that, people haven't told me explicitly, except for those that have asked to have letters of support from the Climate Literacy Network. And basically what they want is to be able to facilitate one or two of these calls a year so that they can get input on specific aspects of their projects. I don't know which of those have been funded or if people have gone forward in others. I don't know. Others on the phone can speak for themselves about that.
But I guess what I'm specifically asking is that usually the way it would happen is people would talk and get to know each other through the network, and a solicitation would come out, and some subset of people who had learned of each other through the network would go on sidebar and, you know, put together a solicitation, and some have gotten funded. And so what I would say is that CLEAN is one of, but not the only, grant that the Climate Literacy Network has, you know, made that come to pass in some way or another. Not to take away the autonomy of the individual people, but I guess what I'm trying to look for is the Climate Literacy Network is kind of the center, and CLEAN is a spoke, but I think there are other spokes that we maybe aren't thinking about yet, and that's what I'm looking for. Is that right?
I am hoping that's right. I can ask others out there how many have been involved with the Climate Literacy Network. I don't know how many people are on the phone right now, but have been involved for more than a year.
This is Martha. I think I might be up to a year.
I think so.
I'm under a year.
Okay, and for those of you that have been involved in, you know, for this length of time, can you talk about ways in which the Climate Literacy Network has facilitated your work, or maybe you have ideas now that you've been involved for a while of how you might think in the future about how it might influence your work?
Well, I know for me, this is Martha from Earth Advertising, and I do a lot of work with the UN in building a global green economy and this kind of thing. And I think that I was really blown away and surprised by all the wonderful work being done out there. And I don't know if there was any other way for me to not only find out about it, but to actually meet the people. So I wish we could all be in one room once in a while.
One of the things we try to do is that those of us who, you know, facilitate putting together coordinated abstracts, and one place where we're going to be able to do that big time is the NAAEE meeting next October in North Carolina. At least our, is it a half day or full day workshop is a go. We haven't heard about the others. I think we're supposed to hear by June 10th about the other sessions. We have submissions, and it's there that I met face to face a lot of the members last year, a lot of the members of the Climate Literacy Network face to face for the first time. So that's one avenue in which we can see each other. Is taking part in these events in a coordinated way.
Tamara, I just looked at that brochure this morning, and this is Louise. I was involved in writing that, but my name's not on it. So I have a major problem trying to get funded from Andrill to come to it when it's mentioned.
Well, it was Lynn Cherry who submitted that, and we do need to do is set up a teleconference and try to get this all sorted out. And if we get Karen Holweg and Beth Simmons on Bora Simmons on the phone, they are very involved with NAAEE, and we can potentially get these things kind of things to addressed. So let's make sure we do that.
But, I mean, maybe a more direct question is, has anybody on the phone received successfully, you know, a grant where they have, you know, reached out in partnership through the network, you know, built that solicitation or that proposal?
We're waiting to hear about an EPA grant right now that, if funded, would have been directly linked to this.
Right.
So maybe, Frank, the question to ask is if people put together proposals rather than had gotten funded projects, because that's the first step.
Yeah, right. That's true. Absolutely. But, I mean...
So who is it that has a proposal?
Kristen with Region 5, we put together what you're talking about, a regional climate and energy literacy network here in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing together folks that are doing professional development in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and potentially Michigan over a year-long period. And Tamara, you had sent a letter of support for that.
Right.
So that would, if funded, we don't find out for another couple of weeks, would have been come right out of this, and I would hope to dovetail nicely with this network. So...
So, I mean, just to take that example, Tamara, how would, from a web space perspective, would that work? Because if it's, you know, if the network is trying to weave together these different pieces that are getting, you know, coordinated through and facilitated, and the proposals are kind of coming together through the work of the network, and then the actual work of these grants, this work that's going on, I mean, how would, you know, climate literacy versus clean versus that regional climate literacy network versus, you know, like IC maybe is another example of this.
Well, I think that's a conversation. When we talk about integrating these websites, we need to think about what are the high-level pieces that need to appear on this community page. And the way I had envisioned it is that the climate literacy network would be an overarching coordinating effort among regional efforts. And that the connections both to each of the regional networks and across them could occur through the Clean Pathway webpage, community webpage. So that's, but how that actually looks, I think a smaller group of us are going to be sitting down to sort of talk that through in more detail.
Sure.
Tamara, I think the way, Frank, maybe I misunderstand your question, this is Anna. But what I hear in your question is, do we really want CLEAN to have be the umbrella for CLN? Because CLEAN might go away and there's other projects. Is that your question, Frank?
In essence, that I mean, if we think about it, is that the network persists regardless of grants, and the grants are the work of are one of the works of the network, so that as the network continues, that different things come in and go out. Hopefully, CLEAN doesn't go away, but that the possibility is that it does.
Well,
I think that even if CLEAN were to go away, the Climate Literacy Network won't go away.
Right.
And so that it would be ultimately new projects would get funded and the Climate Literacy Network would continue to function as a coordinating, communicating group.
Exactly.
Amber, this is Scott. One of the points I think I've raised a couple of times is that we also have access to another website, and that's climateliteracy.net, and that automatically transfers over to that cleannet.org/CLN. And I must admit, my feeling is that that is the website that we ought to be promoting, and I'm kind of with Anna and Frank on this, is that I think we need to create or maintain an identity for Climate Literacy Network, just for exactly those reasons of the coming and going of various projects. And I really do see the Climate Literacy Network as that sort of umbrella, that hub of the spoke, as Frank talked about it. And so for me, my preference is to see that community page not be under CLEAN, but in fact be under Climate Literacy Network, that it's there, that we see the community that we've really built over the last two and a half years. And that's where it's sort of represented. And CLEAN, of course, is one of them. And it's a major project and accomplishment of this network is to have what it was, I think, literally the first funded project or majorly federally funded project in climate literacy education. So that's certainly a major accomplishment of the network itself. But I think it's really important now that we start to see that there are all these other, at least 93 other kinds of climate literacy climate change education projects that are federally funded, and certainly there's other kinds of regional efforts like what Kristen was talking about. So that's kind of where I am, is that I'm actually not too comfortable with this kind of merging, and the URL issue is something that we can fix by just simply asking folks to use climate...
Being burnt down this morning.
Sorry, Lincoln Public Schools, what?
Our entire office building, where Kirsten's office is and all the administrative offices are, it burned down this morning.
You're kidding.
Oh, my.
Oh, my gosh.
Everything is gone.
Wow.
Oh,
there's
my.
Not anything left. It's gone.
Where was this?
Records, everything. They do
where
have a backup
this?
System of records. Our LPS office building, that where Lois Mayo's office was and Kirsten. You remember coming with me to the office building on O Street?
Yeah. Is there somebody else on the call?
No, uh-uh.
Oh, I thought I heard somebody else's voice.
Oh, it's Annalise in the background.
Oh, gosh, I can't believe that. Do they know what happened?
I know.
Sorry for the...
Hey, Louise?
Oh, wait, I think I accidentally merged two calls. I'm sorry. Let me
get
off.
You know what? I'll get off, and then we can talk later, okay?
Okay, thanks. Bye, Anisa.
Bye-bye.
What happened?
I think instead of going call
I'm
waiting, she merged.
Sorry.
It.
I'm
it's okay.
Sorry. I saw the call come in, and I needed to take it, but I didn't mean to merge the two calls.
That was only recorded for posterity.
Yeah, it was recorded.
Sorry, that was Lincoln Public Schools in Nebraska. Their school district offices burned down this morning, is what
That's
she
terrible.
Was saying. So, anyway, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay, Louise.
Okay.
No
So let's get back to the issues Scott was bringing up, and it's an issue I've been struggling with for a while, because I've always seen the Climate Literacy Network as the overarching coordinating group, and yet most people just don't separate it. It's not it's a question of one overarching the other, but it's not really separate. It's not really seen as separate efforts.
But the because we made the switch to going with the CERC CMS,
yes.
That's where the confusion really got perpetuated.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that, because, I mean, it offers a lot of web functionality that we need, given that we're an unfunded network, but or marginally funded network. But, you know, that I think has caused that confusion, because it's clean.cln, not, you know.
If I could weigh in, because...
And who is this? Just say who you are.
Burns. Roberta, and I haven't been on a lot of calls recently, but I do read the emails, and for me, I do get, there's a lot of name confusion with me when there's a lot of groups that have similar sounding names. I just tend to jumble them all up in my brain, and even though I've been reading the emails for almost a year now and on the list and occasionally on the calls, I still get them confused. And now I've been surfing and reading back and forth between, cleannet.org and then the CLN. And I find, for one thing, that when I get to the Climate Literacy Network website, there's only one way I can get back to the Clean Pathway Project that I've been able to find, and I really had to look for it. So the Clean Pathway isn't even really talked about on the climate literacy page that I can find, except at the bottom of the climate literacy page it says that it's hosted by the climate literacy.
Right. Actually, that's an interesting point. I mean, because the Climate Literacy Network page existed before the Clean Pathway portal was live, and that's probably why. So that's another piece that we have to evolve with the with the website.
I mean, I can go the other direction. Once I'm at the Clean Pathway, I can get to climate literacy.
So there needs to be more the capability of going back and forth.
Right. Right. And I guess I kind of concur that it might be nice to have a different sounding web address that really distinguishes between the two. That would certainly help somebody like me who, you know, I've got so many things going on in my life that names are what I remember. And that would help me distinguish between the two. When I try to tell people about the Climate Literacy Network, sometimes out comes CleanNet or Clean Pathway, and then I'm not even sure what I'm talking about because I get them all kind of jumbled up. So this has been very educational for me. Spent a little bit of time looking on again to see what the differences are.
Well, Roberta, certainly climateliteracy.net will work. That will definitely get
great. You. Okay.
Yeah.
So it is active then. It's just
it's been active for about a year.
Okay. It's just
for us to be sort of consistent in using that,
that's
the distinction that we want to make, as opposed to using the cleannet.org/CLN. Gets to the same place.
Right. Okay.
So Scott, when we make a bookmark or a business card or something like that and we give somebody the Climate Literacy Network address.
Yes.
I think what we're saying is, and maybe Tamara, this is helping you, is that the address you just mentioned is the one we should be using, not cleannet.org/CLN.
It's certainly one way of keeping the publicity. It's just at this point, it's just a redirect to that cleannet.org/CLN.
Well, it could continue to be a redirect. It's just a matter of what we advertise.
We know, you know, those of us who do a lot of web surfing, you know, it's not unusual to put one address in and then it gets changed, you know, several times. Not unusual. And you kind of don't worry about it because all you really need to know is the first one.
All right. So aside from that right now, one question, I mean, one of the things that I thought we would do is if you go to the Clean Pathway portal and you go to the community page, I had thought that maybe the community page should be the Climate Literacy Network page, of which you could get to independently or you could get to through that avenue. Do people see that is a viable thing to do, or do you think that there should still be a community page through which you then can get to the Climate Literacy Network?
Well, when I went to the community sidebar there, I was expecting to go to Climate Literacy
Network.
So that doesn't make sense to me.
The reason that I like that idea is because it then gives the sense of that under the Climate Literacy Network, all of these other kinds of activities can be happening. The regional networks, the professional development activities, the different kinds of funded programs. And the Climate Literacy Network provides an avenue to for coordination among them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, as long as you, I think it can be made clear that the community is the network,
yes.
But it's CLEAN is not the Climate Literacy Network.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe another test of that is if somebody else has wanted to have a community part of their other grant, they could use the Climate Literacy Network as that community space as well. So it's a growing community.
Yeah.
Well, maybe
okay,
one
so can you
solution.
Say that again? Excuse me a second, Mark. And I just want Frank to say that again so that I can make sure that I capture it accurately.
What it is it basically what you're doing is CLEAN exists in and of itself, and it wanted to have a community space, and it chose to use the Climate Literacy Network as its community space. Another grant could also want a community space and could also choose the Climate Literacy Network as its community space, but it is... it's distinct, just as CLEAN is distinct. And three could do want that. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark, I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, all right. I mean, I take some responsibility here because I'm the culprit who came up with the CLEAN acronym. And maybe one solution is to just forget what the acronym stands for, just like nobody can remember what TURC stands for anymore,
uh-huh.
And stop referring to it as the Climate Literacy Energy Awareness Network.
That only works if people already know it's climate-related.
Yeah, I know. Right. Otherwise, it does sound like clean energy or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, my original idea, which didn't work at the time and clearly doesn't work now, is that Climate Literacy Network would be expanded into the Climate Literacy Energy Awareness Network, in order to try to kind of close the loop with energy solutions. And from everything people have been saying, the Climate Literacy Network needs to stay separate and distinct from CLEAN.
I think that that's true, and I think that Frank sort of made the case for at least a little bit more concretely in my mind for how that can work, because it allows the Climate Literacy Network the flexibility of being involved in lots of projects or helping to coordinate lots of projects and not just be associated with one that may go away.
Yeah.
But I'd have to say at the same time that I'd really like to see the CLEAN pathway project more clearly mentioned on the Climate Literacy Network website.
Yeah, no, that does have to happen.
Yeah,
it's just not been a priority. We haven't really worked towards things, but you're absolutely right. Does have to be able to go both ways.
I just have to say, I just love the pathway, and I've just been telling every teacher about it, and I love using it myself, and I just think we should just be out there telling people about it as we can. So that's why I said that.
But you know, maybe the way CLEAN works is with the on the main page there's the featured resource. It could be a featured project.
Yes.
And then, you know, right now it rotates around by one. Now, there might be other projects that are part of the network that we want to highlight.
Either projects or networks.
Yeah, project networks. But the featured, the whole idea of that featured resource is what I'm talking about. So
yeah, no, I understand. That sounds good.
You know, and that's just take that piece and move it forward, and you might be able to get what we're talking about for highlighting the work of the network.
And we could do the same thing on the Climate Literacy Network page, too.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Just put it there.
Take the same idea, the feature that's on the Clean website, not the content of it, but the idea of it, and move that over onto the Climate Literacy page, the feature. And then, you know, it's a featured project, featured network, featured whatever. And that, you know, we just choose the you know, I don't know, Mark, now that you're on, was ICE a child of the Climate Literacy Network as well, like Clean was? Or is that separate altogether?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's potentially, they're all wrapped up together. And I mean, this gets to another issue. You know, we're talking about the disappearance of Clean, which really kind of makes me sad.
It's a possibility. We are working on trying to make it more sustainable than
that.
Yeah,
of course.
Of course.
And I'm pretty confident that one way or another, Clean will live on. But this gets back to the issue that is inherent in anything that's funded by grants, where you've got a certain grant period to get your work done, and then maybe you've figured out a way to keep it going in the long term or not. You know, we've talked about whether or not there could be some kind of a cooperative institute that would help coordinate all these different grants and synthesize them and find the best practices so that if the funding... when the funding is gone, that there's a way to kind of sustain some of the best and brightest parts of those projects. You know, there was more than 90 grants given out between NASA, NSF, and NOAA, and the clock is ticking on all of them. And what's going to happen down the line? You know, and some of them are already done. You know, some of them have already spent out their funds, and you know, there may be stuff up on the web, but that's basically the end of it. So what I want to know, and Frank, this is a question for you, is what's going on at the federal level to make sure that you know, since we've been pushed back a number of times by NSF in particular, when we ask about can Climate Literacy Network help coordinate these various projects, what's the plan at the federal level? Because a lot of these programs are, you know, on the edge of being finished, to capture the best of the programs and try to, you know, find a way to keep the momentum going.
Well, I mean, Mark, I think the question from the NSF perspective is going to relate to phase two of CSEP.
We don't even know if that's going to get funded, and that's just 15 projects out there. Most of them have nothing to do with these other 90 projects that have gotten funded.
Right, and so what I'm trying to say is that the spirit or the intent of what phase two is about really does line up with the coordination function. But the driver of the non-CSEP, because ISE, there are, you said 90 grants. It's actually more in the order of probably 170, because if you go outside of, might even be 200, because if you go outside of NSF, NOAA, and NASA, you pick up IMLS. They're doing wonderful work in this area.
Yeah,
EPS,
yeah, no, you're
NIFA,
my point.
EPA. And so, but what I'm trying to say is that the national coordination function with just the set of grants that we're talking about that were at the tri-agency meeting or the ones that are programmatically similar is an absolutely critical piece. Most likely it's going to come out of the NSF funding stream. They have the deepest pockets in this area compared to NOAA, NASA, EPA, and IMLS and all of those others. So, I mean, I would say that probably what I'm trying to answer in saying is that probably the coordination function that I think is going to come with the CSEP phase two, we'll know for certain in the fall when the solicitation comes out, because that national coordination function should be in there. If it's not in there, then, you know, it's kind of a head-scratching time, because that's implicit in really what the spirit of what they're trying to do is. That's I mean, that's probably the best answer I can get, because, I mean, everyone's, you know, facing reduced budgets these days. And FY12 and FY13 are not looking good.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, yes, absolutely. But how we get from here to there is another question altogether.
Well, I think one thing that we should do is come up with, and maybe Clean / CLN can help spearhead this, is some sort of a workshop sooner than later. I've proposed one in Denver this fall in October, tied with the World Climate Research Camp program, but a workshop that would bring together, you know, some of the key people from these various projects and agencies to come up with a strategy of how do we try to identify these best practices and programs and tools, et cetera, so that they're not going to fall through the cracks down the line.
I support that. I mean, another option is AGU, which is where I think more of us are going to be in the near term.
We can probably try to get together a group of people like we did last time.
Yeah.
From all of these different projects. It's just I think, Mark, that I understand your frustration in trying to see how that might happen, but individual projects I don't think are going to be able to come up with more than restating the problem. I think a lot of the work that we've been doing through the Climate Literacy Network has helped to keep these different efforts in communication, and some will end, and others, with people committed and the support of the Climate Literacy Network and ongoing projects, will be able to move forward. And I think that if we can, with the Climate Literacy Network, help have groups remain in communication so that these efforts are, I mean, one of the things we might think about doing in a more rigorous way, and it could be an activity that we are involved in, we will propose to the phase two for this coordination activity, but we've started with having these various projects, and we have opened it up to broader, to anybody who has a climate change education project, to submit a description of their project. But right now it's pretty static, even though each group that has submitted a description has editing capability to go in and update it. But they probably don't actually have any idea that they have that access or have the time or inclination to do it. But as part of a funded activity for coordination, we could really build out what those spaces look like so that there is more of a dynamic updating function for it that allows those, that kind of not falling through the cracks to occur. Now, that's not saying that everybody will continue to get funding to make things real active, but to make the materials available and viable for a longer term is something that we could, you know, think about trying to facilitate through this kind of communication and coordination.
Tamara, it's Scott here again. I wonder whether we want to talk a little bit about something slightly different, and that's the notion of coordinating our responses to solicitations for conference sessions and such. We haven't created any mechanism really to do that other than sort of dedicating one of these or several of these telecons to talking about what we might do. Like,
well, we've gone a little bit further than that, I think. I think that those, I actually think we have a few good examples, and it may be that we sort of document those as models, but one avenue was for the NAAEE meeting. We did have one of these calls, but then the groups that were interested in moving forward in various ways had additional calls and conversations that resulted in those proposals. And then we did ask that everybody indicate, you know, send a you know, what their proposal was, so that we would have a coordinated, we would have a full set of what was submitted from the Climate Literacy Network. That's one avenue, and when we get to the meeting, we'll create a one-page document, which worked really well last year, that listed all the climate-related efforts or sessions from the Climate Literacy Network, and a lot of people came to the Climate Literacy Network roundtable discussion only because of those flyers. So,
right.
So that's one avenue, and then the other avenue was what we did for AGU. This is a little bit different because I don't know that it's been done before, but they had a call for sessions, and again we then used this call, which I think is our most powerful mechanism of communication, to solicit ideas and for what the session should be, and then while the individual conveners. I coordinated. It was a group of seven session proposals we put in that, again, we should know about. And then we should know really soon which ones, hopefully all of them, but which ones will actually go. But what we did was we made sure that each person that was interested in participating was able to be a convener of one of the sessions but not appear on two, and that no one organization had more than one representative on a particular session. So that kind of spread out the input from the larger community into these sessions. And we have seven sessions for informal science, formal science at the K-12 level, and formal science at the undergraduate level. We have one around museums and aquaria and zoos. We have one around what the research around climate change education has shown. We have one around impacts on faith-based groups and other such groups. So that's another avenue where we submitted, individual conveners submitted the sessions, and then I sent an email that listed the entire group. And so that was another mechanism that we used. But I think that our calls, I think what has to happen is when you know of an opportunity where having a Climate Literacy Network coordinated set of submissions would be advantageous, that just needs to be brought to the conversation and the call. We provide the avenue for making announcements at the beginning every week, and then the obvious avenue of then having one particular topic be the main mechanism for the call. And this also appears on the Climate Literacy Network webpage on the telecon schedule. These could also be put on the event schedule.
Yes, exactly.
So I don't know if there's other ways that people think that we should think about trying to coordinate responses for session proposals at meetings and things like that. I must say that I really do appreciate everybody calling in every week, because I think that having an ongoing conversation in which people can share what they're thinking and what they've learned about in the past week is really helpful.
Yep.
Okay, are there any other comments or questions? We have about a little bit less than 10 minutes in our hour.
Tamara, any thoughts on the tri-agency products for the meeting website that's on Virginia Space Grant and the parts of the network? Is there any thought on how to port over those projects into this some of the Climate Literacy Network aspects?
In what way? I'm not sure.
Okay. So on there for the 120 active grants, there are abstracts for all
mm-hmm.
120.
Hey, Frank, can you send out the link to that website again? Because I can't find it.
Yeah. Well, if you just do try agency climate education and you look for some, I'll send you the link.
I actually have the link too.
I can't find it.
Well, if you, I mean, you know,
I can send it out.
Okay,
I can send
fine.
It out to the. I can send it out to everybody.
That's fine. But the specifically on there is the there are the project abstracts.
Mm-hmm.
There are the participant lists. There's the thing that I think, you know, Tamara, you and I have talked about, which is the product matrix, which is by audience and by product type, which is an interesting interface for looking for collaboration. So you're not, you know, trying to go through all of them, but you say, you know, I'm working on, you know, K-12 teacher administrators on climate education. You are too. Let's talk.
Well, I think that that's a good idea. I mean, I don't know that we have the funding to have somebody actually actively do that, but that's the kind of thing we would like to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. I mean, I don't know if there's a way just to put a link between these two pages.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I think that what we should do is when we talk about how we're going to evolve the Climate Literacy Network page with the Clean Pathway page, that this should be part of the what's integrated onto the Climate Literacy Network.
Right.
Actually, I just found it, and I can send the link out. But on the sidebar under Teacher Toolbox, there's a link that says in big caps, "Search reviewed resources." And I click on there, and I get to the Climate Literacy Essential Principles Interagency Guide.
Where are you?
This is searchable, and then two buttons down below that is the Climate Literacy Energy Awareness Network, which does direct to clean.net.
Where are you, Mark?
I'm at the Global Climate Change Education.
No, not that.
So I'm on the tri-agency PI meeting page. That's the one you were talking about, right? There's the product matrix, there's the participant list and meeting presentations, and project abstracts.
Yeah. So, Mark, you're in a different place.
I can't find that.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right,
Cameron's going to send it.
I'll send it out.
But the point is that the amount of – this is the best current list of things that is out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it somehow weaving them two together in some way without doing a lot of work is a good
idea.
Well,
what we can do right now is certainly for the project abstracts on the front page of where we have the abstracts that have already been submitted, we could put a link to these also.
Right.
As a real simple thing.
Yeah,
and it might be useful to put the product matrix also there.
Right, and you know, just so that it keeps people finding. I mean, because like the fact that people are having a hard time finding this website is kind of silly.
Yeah.
Well, what I was looking at was the NASA GCCE website, and they have a tri-agency page there, which is what popped up first on my Google search.
I'll send this out, Mark.
We're listed on the sidebar. So I'm going to send out a link to the NASA GCCE site because it does link to Clean very overtly.
Yeah.
Right. And one other thing, just while we have a moment, I would think that the Clean matrix, the gap analysis matrix, would be something you would want to put up there. In the same space.
Well, we can just provide the link to it. It's already available on the site. And the reason we didn't want to really just publish it as a static document is obviously that it's going to change over time.
Sure. Sure. But, I mean, you know, I'm staring at it on my wall. I've got a big printout of it. And, you know, like Essential Principle 5E's got nothing in it. Essential Principle 1E also, 1D. There's certain gaps that are out there that 3D's also got no identified resources. 6E's got no identified resources. You know, GPC, GPB. Sorry for those of you who don't understand what gibberish I'm saying. But my point is that the people who are in the active development phase might find it interesting to know that these main ideas no one has found an excellent resource for. That's good for writing a proposal. It's also good for writing, you know, just scoping your work if you've got funding towards these areas where there's clearly a need. And I always think that that's an important – if you're making a compelling argument to a grantor, a funder, this gives you some ability to make that that case. And, you know, I think more people need to know about this case.
Yep, and that's a service for the community as a whole.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Yep, very good.
All right. So I'm sorry I've chewed up four of those.
No, that's okay. So I will send out this URL. If you have further thoughts on this, you can certainly email the list or contact one of us individually. next week, we are going to have a presentation by Walt Meyer on sea ice and climate. And he gave this presentation to on one of our Clean Pathway webinars a few weeks ago. And so he's going to do it again for us next week. And we are then moving into the summer where we will have fewer presentations, but we will continue to have a call every week for everybody to touch base who is available. And but if you're interested in presenting on the on during or having leading one of the conversations during the week, during our calls, contact us and we will get you on the schedule for the fall.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.